And good evening, and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 68. This is Tom Harris in a beautiful but rather frosty Chicago, Illinois, and it has been very, very cold indeed for these last few days, to the point of that I haven't really been able to go out and walk much because it has been very, very bitter for the last couple of days in particular. And not very much snow. We had a warm spell last week, which I talked about, and that melted most of the snow that was on the ground. And we haven't really had much to replace it, just kind of a dusting here and there, but it hasn't stuck. And it's not getting particularly warm in the afternoon, but at the same time, it hasn't been melting. So I'm not sure what's happening to the snow. It kind of comes down and then vanishes, but it seems like it's a little bit too cold to be melting. Anyhow, this has been sort of an ongoing last few days of returning to normalcy, being back at work, which is nice to actually be getting a little bit of income again, and just kind of getting back into the routine. And it's been rough, you know, when you're out of work for 3 months, you haven't had to get up at any particular time, you hadn't had any really important things that you've had to attend to. It is very, very odd to get used to being back at work. And this is not complaining, mind you. I mean, there's plenty of things to complain about working, but this is not one of them. And it is good to be back. And we'll see what happens with my 4-month contract. I mean, so far, it has been almost as though I never left. I mean, a lot of the procedures and things are pretty much the same as when I was there before. There have been a few things that did change while I was gone, and some procedures that are not being done exactly the same. So that's taking some getting used to, but I'm settling in nicely, and hopefully this 4-month contract will be extended or not, and I should know more about what exactly is going on sometime in February, and we'll keep you posted, of course, on what's going on within certain limits, of course, because I can't talk about real specific stuff about work on the show. And a very warm welcome along to anybody who is listening on United Kingdom Radio. We recently started airing our show on there. We are on at 4:30 p.m. Monday afternoon. That's UK time. Now here it would be Monday afternoon at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time and 10:30 a.m. Central time. So you can listen to the show on United Kingdom Radio as sort of an opening act for their Monday afternoon live lineup. And if you're in the mood for something a little bit different, especially if you're here in the States and you don't hear a lot of British radio, we'll definitely tune in. And, we have such talk show hosts there as Chris Reardon, sort of the podcast king, and Ross Patzelt, and Lee Mills, and Lee Last, and Yannick Clay. And now Basil Butler has announced that he's going to be doing a show on United Kingdom Radio, so that ought to be a lot of fun. And I've been actually pondering for quite some time the idea of doing a live show. And Ross has been after me probably for the last 6 to 8 months to get me to come on do a show. And I'll be honest with you, the reason why it hasn't happened yet is because I'm a little bit scared. I don't want to get stuck in the situation where, I'm doing a show and nobody calls. And that's kind of my biggest fear of doing a live show, is that nobody will be interested, nobody will call. Now, I suppose that it's always worth a go. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does work, then great. But I do want to do something a little bit different if I do a live show. And that's something that is in discussion. And I'm not committing one way or the other yet, but I will say that it looks to me like it's something that's going to happen, at least to try out, and I'll let you know more as that goes on. And one of the things that, one of the things that is kind of pushing me towards doing a live show is the fact that, I listen to a lot of live shows, and most of those are on United Kingdom Radio, but in the past, I've been able to actually call the show to Skype in, and to participate in the discussions. And that is something that I miss. And even though it's only been a few weeks since I've been able to do that, since I started going to work again, and Monday I'm at work and I'm not actually able to Skype in, but I am able to listen to the shows, and I have been listening to the shows and enjoying them as normal. But yeah, I do miss actually calling in and being part of those programs, and I'm not able to do that now. Anyway, I will keep everybody posted as to what is going on. Now, I do foresee that if I do start doing a live program, I would not be doing away with this program. The pre-recorded show would still be going on as normal. However, I would probably be cutting it back to once a week, which I think is reasonable when you consider that you would actually be getting an extra hour or half hour of the show live. So you're actually would be getting a lot more content. So, I mean, I'm not overly concerned, but I don't think that that would mean that I would be doing away with the pre-recorded show. Because the pre-recorded show, I can do things that I can't do in a live show, and vice versa. So I think that the two would be able to complement each other. Anyway, because of the show now airing on United Kingdom Radio, I thought that what I would do, and it's been a long time since I've done this, is kind of do an introductory show. Because I know that if you go back and you listen to some of the older shows, you can kind of get an idea of the type of person I am, the type of things that interest me, and probably even some pretty good insights into how I feel about specific issues. But I haven't really done a proper introductory episode since the very first episode. Now, one of the thoughts I had was that I was just going to replay that first episode, but I kind of thought, well, no, not really. I don't think I want to do that. And maybe there are things that people haven't quite caught on to yet, or maybe there are things that people have been kind of wondering about. So I figure what I would do in this episode is do kind of a brief reintroduction, a kind of who is Tom Harris and why does this guy have a show? So I guess what I should do is kind of start at the beginning. Well, as you know, my name is Tom Harris. I'm 47 years old. I live in Chicago, Illinois, which is in the Midwest, right on Lake Michigan. And I've been a kind of a Great Lakes resident for a good chunk of my life, though I did not originally come from Chicago. I'm a transplant here. I came here in 2001. But originally, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and that is where I was born. That's where I was raised. When I was 12 years old, my family moved to Southwest Florida, and specifically Sanibel Island. Lived there for 3 years, and then to Cape Coral, and spent a few months living in Mountain Home, Arkansas, which I think is just about the worst place I've ever lived. Went back to Florida, and I didn't care that much for Florida either. It wasn't like I loved Florida so much, but I felt like I was tied there by family being there and friends being there and just sort of, it was a place to go that it was not Arkansas, and it was a place that I would rather be than Arkansas. So that's why I went back there. Now, that being the case, I only stayed there until 1992 and then moved back to Ohio, back to my hometown. And lived there for a number of years and then decided that I was going to go travel the world. I'm certainly a veteran traveler. It's something that I am very, very fond of, and I really, really enjoy travel. I don't get a chance to do it as often as I would like, but it is something that I really, really like to do. And it is something that I do bring up on the show from time to time. I do talk about my various travels and so forth. So in 1996, I just kind of gave up everything, gave up my job. And then I went and traveled for 8 months in Europe. And then when I came back from Europe, I went off to Ohio University and got my degree in acting. So I am a trained actor. I've done a lot of theater. I've done short films. I've done stage. That's pretty much the sort of thing that I've done. Anything that has paid particularly well. But I started doing theater in Florida in the 80s and continued that in Ohio in the 90s and here in Chicago in the 2000s, though I have not been doing much theater lately. What I've been doing instead of theater is this show. A little bit about me personally, I do identify myself as queer. I suppose the most accurate term would be bisexual. I like men and women, for lack of a better term. I hate the term bisexual. I really do. At the moment, I am dating a very nice man named Pete, and you will hear me talk about him quite often on the podcast. And he and I have been together for nearly 5 years, so it's actually been a good chunk of time that I've spent with Pete, and I'm not sick of him yet. So, and hopefully will not become so. I'm a vegetarian. Don't talk about that very much, but it is true. I don't eat any kind of red meat or poultry. I'm not one of those vegetarians that makes being a vegetarian the center of their life. So I'm kind of a low-key vegetarian, and I think a lot of people don't even really notice it unless the topic comes up. And I do eat seafood, but, you know, I'm not what you would call a strict vegetarian. So I do avoid red meat and poultry, but I don't necessarily get real anal about checking the ingredients on everything and all that stuff. I'm not a vegan. You know, I wear leather shoes. You know, I'm okay with the concept of people hunting to survive. And, you know, and I don't call hunting a sport. I don't think it really is a sport. But I don't have any particular problem with people going out and killing their own food. So that sets me apart from a lot of vegetarians who really do get bent out of shape about these things. Politically, I'm somewhat of a moderate. I don't talk much about politics on this program. Maybe on a live show I will. I don't identify myself as either a conservative or a liberal. I definitely consider myself sort of middle of the road. On most of the social issues, I lean towards libertarianism, and I do mean libertarianism with a small L and not a large L. And on some of the fiscal issues, issues of defense and so forth, I do sort of lean a little bit more to the right, though certainly well within the sphere of moderation. I do believe that in order to make political progress and to affect more justice in the world, you can't have one wing of your political system much more powerful than the other. Otherwise, you're going to fly in circles. I think it's within the interest of our country not to be dominated too much by one side or the other. And in a lot of ways, I dislike political parties intensely, and that's something that maybe I can talk about another time. So as a result of that, of course, I am an independent voter, and I make up my mind. I do not vote for a party. I vote for a candidate. And for races that are really important, like, you know, senatorial races and for the presidential races, I really do take a very close look at every candidate in the race and decide based on the issues whether or not they deserve my support. Now, even though I don't discuss politics very much on this program, I do discuss it on other programs. And in particular, one where I've been known to discuss political topics is Plain Dudes Radio. And you can hear that show at plaindudesradioshow.mevio.com. There was a time in my life when I was a born-again Christian. I spent a good number of years as a practicing Christian. And came to the realization in the mid-80s that it didn't make any sense. And I, you know, at that point began to accept my lack of belief and, you know, rejected the dogma and the indoctrination and the lies and, you know, the fear mongering and all of the things that were involved in that. And so it's only been probably in the last 10 years that I've been openly calling myself an atheist, but I am an atheist, which means I don't believe in God. It doesn't mean that I believe in God and just don't like him. It actually means that I do not have a belief in any kind of God. Now, in addition to being an atheist, I am also a rationalist. Now, I don't consider the two to be identical things. I mean, I do believe that many atheists are rationalists, and I do believe that most rationalists are atheists. However, the two are not mutually inclusive, nor are they mutually exclusive. So I guess you could say that I'm a free thinker, and my approach to the world is based on rationality, which is to say that I don't look to supernatural explanations for natural phenomena, I don't accept dogma over reality, and I approach the world in a way that I like to educate myself about things and actually form opinions based on the facts and not based on indoctrination or dogma or any of the things that I mentioned earlier. And that includes not only religion, that also includes things like UFOs and paranormal activities and ghosts and psychics, and people have often heard me railing about lying to people to make a profit on the show, and that's one of the things that, psychics, the so-called psychics, do. And I do talk about that on this program quite a lot. And you could go back and listen to prior episodes where I do talk about that. There'll probably be more coming in the future, but for right now, I'm just kind of laying off that topic. Because for a while, it seemed like I was talking about that stuff a little bit too much. I am generally a pro-life individual, which means not only am I generally against abortion, I'm also against war and against the death penalty. That, to me, is the definition of a pro-lifer. I'm a humanist, a secular humanist, in fact, and to many people, I am referred to as the Pope of secular humanism, or simply as the Pope. And that's not a title that I've used much in connection with this program. However, it is one that has stayed with me over a number of years in my personal life, and it's something that, I very much embrace. A couple weeks ago on Yannick Clay's show, he suggested that I probably read a lot of books. That's absolutely true. I certainly do read books. I do tend to read more nonfiction than fiction. I like a lot of biography and history and, folklore and that sort of thing. But I also do enjoy the occasional fictional novel as well. Used to be a big comic collector. I'm no longer that, but I do have a strong interest in, the form and, do keep up on certain developments in the comic book industry. From the time I was a kid and well into my 20s, I was trying very hard to break into the comic book industry as an artist and or writer, but that was not to be. Pete is big into Japanese anime and manga, and I also have an appreciation for that, so I've become interested in that, and we do occasionally go to anime conventions and so forth. I have a number of, other interests and hobbies that I pursue. One of those is tracing my family tree. Genealogy has been something that I have been doing for a great many years and can trace certain lines of my family back quite far back, even as far back as the Norse god Odin, and also to Adam and Eve and Charlemagne and a bunch of other people as well. It's a very, very interesting hobby. And I also am into video gaming and play a lot of World of Warcraft. It's been one of my addictions over the years. I'm not as addicted to it as I used to be. I don't really play nearly as much as I was a couple of years ago. And the podcast has a lot to do with that, because I do spend a lot of time doing the podcast and trying to come up with things and recording, you know, segments for other people and, you know, maintaining correspondence and so forth, keeping in touch with my friends. And that's really what podcasting is all about, isn't it? It's about making friends and exchanging ideas. So anyway, that's Tom Harris in a nutshell. And if you, of course, have any questions, you can feel free to email the show. And the email address is tom@tomharrisusa.com. Now, moving on. I have a few messages here for the show. The first was from Michael Moss. Michael does a show called Post-It Cast, and you can hear that on postitcast.mevio.com. And that is a correction, by the way. I had mentioned Post-It Cast in a previous episode and got the URL wrong, so I'm sorry about that, Michael. Anyhow, Michael says congratulations on the new job. Well, thank you, sir. Very nice to hear from you. And it's not really a new job. It's pretty much just my old one. I just have it back again. Been getting used to that. And I do have a few new duties that are coming up, and that is because of personnel shifts and things that are going on. And so some of my duties are changing, but that is okay, because, you know, that's more different skills, and that'll be good. So a few messages here on Facebook. I'm not going to read them, but it seems that my discussion last time on living simply actually kind of resonated with a lot of people. It's interesting. I didn't expect that, but it's nice to hear. As I said, you know, I think that keeping it as simple as possible is the best way to live. I mean, that's just for me. And I don't really understand the whole obsession with acquiring more and more and more, and just kind of filling your life with stuff. And I'd like to keep my life, not only keep my life as simple as it is, I would actually like to become even more portable over time. But at the same time, you know, I do like my creature comforts and so forth. So it is good to hear that other people agree, and, other people maybe even are thinking about making that sort of, changes in their life themselves. Doug, in particular, was saying that he had, over the last year, had gotten rid of a lot of his junk that he had. And that's always good. That, you know, and I actually had a couple of periods in my life when I purged my life of junk. And the first time was about 1992, about the time I moved back to Ohio, and we had a house full of junk. This was back when I was still married, and we got rid of, you know, most of it. And then again in 96, and this is after already having reduced my junk down quite a bit, I went away to Europe for 8 months. And while I was gone, while I was away, the basement of the house that I had been living in flooded, and that's where a lot of my belongings were being stored. So as a result of that, I actually lost quite a few boxes of things. And the more important stuff was upstairs and didn't get damaged, but there was a lot of stuff that, you know, books and things that got ruined. And so it was kind of a shock. And my roommate at the time didn't even notice it. He didn't even know that the basement had flooded. And I didn't even realize it myself until I went downstairs and found these, you know, boxes that were completely soaked through and had been soaked and dried and so forth. And it could have happened while he was out of town. Yeah, I suppose. But anyway, there was a lot of stuff that I had that, and a lot of with my original comic art, the things that I had been drawing, a lot of that stuff was destroyed. I had some of my ex-wife's paintings down there. Those were destroyed. So it really did, it got rid of a lot of stuff for me that I was just kind of hanging on to. And then when I moved here to Chicago, I ended up throwing away quite a lot of stuff. And I think it's getting to that point again. I really do think that it's time for another purge and just to get rid of just some of the accumulated junk. And maybe I can get rid of some of these books. There's a, you know, take it to a used bookstore, get some credit, you know, and that's the sort of thing that's good for cutting down on your belongings. Obviously, if I had a house and they had room to store all this stuff, then maybe I would be a little bit, you know, more inclined to keep it. But I do live in it's a one-room apartment, so when things get cluttered, they get cluttered, and I don't like to keep a lot of junk around. So anyway, that's how I feel about that. I also have here, I have an email from Robert the Viking in Iceland, and he had a comment here via the email. And if you do feel like writing email to the program, I love getting mail, so you can email the show at tom@tomharrisusa.com. And Robert had this to say on episode number 67. He said, "Dear Tom, it is interesting how coincidences can come about. I say this because while listening to your latest show with my wife, Brigida, and over a cup of coffee, I said that a rather nice alternative lifestyle would be an unlimited credit card, hey, I have no desire to rough it, a backpack containing laptop, iPod, change of clothes, toothbrush, and all of the stuff needed to smooth the way of life. If you will, I guess the picture I paint is that of a human snail." Yeah, it is. "I would list 6 places, then roll a die, and off I go. I'm following a program format of a TV show called Dice Man, I think. Now, I stress that this should not be taken as an admission that my life is lacking, because it most certainly is not. To be blessed with having had the chance to be the primary carer for my girls is one that I shall be eternally grateful for. Raising children is rather like making a toy boat, and then when the time is right, to set it free upon the lake that is the earth. I just hope I have done a good job, for it is the way of life that at some point you will be judged, and I would hate to be found wanting in their eyes. Thanks as always for a great show. For if nothing else, then it makes you think, and I delight in the way you present your views. I have a faith, and yet I feel it is so much a part of me that I do not feel the need to ram it down everyone else's throat. I feel you do the same. Oh, tolerance. It is the only thing we need after love, and yet is not tolerance a form of pure love? I leave you with that thought. Robert Lewis Pels." Thank you. Thank you very much, Robert. That's very kind of you to say that. That would be cool, to actually be that portable. And I know that there's a lot of people who do that sort of travel. They do a lot of hiking, and they do a lot of, I think it's called ultralight hiking, where they just take the bare essentials and they try to keep their packs under, you know, 20 pounds and just travel very, very lightly for long periods of time. This idea, you know, you talk about, the idea of rolling a die and kind of going at random to different places. It's a pretty cool idea, actually. And if there ever is a TV show called Dice Man, I would probably be the first one to volunteer to star on that show, because I think that would be great fun. And another thing that you know, it's not done often nowadays, but it's something that is still available to do if people want to do it. And that is traveling by container ship. And I know that with the, you know, the increase in piracy, that some of the routes have been restricted now. But it has always been possible to travel on these commercial container ships and go from port to port. Now, you know, it's what people back in the old days would call traveling by tramp steamer. Of course, you know, none of these ships are steamers anymore. But traveling tramp would be, you know, of course, you're paying the ship to travel. And you go to the next port of call, you know, in the ship. And then they don't actually have a next destination set until they get to where they're going. So, for example, you would travel from New York and the ship, say it's going to Rotterdam. And then in Rotterdam, they take on new cargo, and that cargo is going to Iceland. You know, and then in Iceland, they don't know where they're going next, and they get a cargo going to South Africa. You know, and that sort of thing. And you never really know where you're going next. Now, the only real problem I can see with traveling in that fashion is that you're spending a lot of time at sea, so you would have to have some way of entertaining yourself. And, you know, I'm sure that chronic masturbation isn't going to do it for everybody, so you would have to have, like, you know, a computer or books or, you know, something, a shortwave radio, you know, just ways to entertain yourself during those long hours that you're out at sea. It sounds so appealing to me, and it's something that I've occasionally fantasized about doing. And traveling by container ship is, you know, it's a slow way to travel, and it offers you a lot of opportunity to do, you know, to concentrate on a particular thing. So, for example, if you're painting, if you're a painter, you can paint a lot on this trip. If you're a writer, you can write a lot on this trip. But I guess it wouldn't be for people who are easily bored, because there isn't much in the way of activities on board. I mean, the main activities would be, you know, kind of staring at the ocean. And because of restrictions, they would have to carry fewer than 12 passengers, because otherwise they would have a doctor on board to take care of passengers. So they would, you know, they have a limit as to how many passengers, and you have to have, if you're over a certain age, you have to have a certificate of health to, you know, show that you're actually healthy enough to be on the ship for an extended period of time. And usually the ships have, like, a TV room or something, but by and large, they don't really plan activities for you. So Pete would not be one who, you know, he's very easily bored. So it wouldn't be good for him. But I think I'd enjoy that. I think I actually would be really interested in trying that. The problem, though, with traveling in that way is it's not really cheap. You know, it can cost up to about $100 a day to travel on a container ship. And you're not living in these sort of cramped, sooty cabins that, you know, the way they would have had to back in the steamer days. I mean, you actually get, you know, what amounts to a hotel room. And they provide all of your meals, three meals a day. And you eat with the crew and the captain and all the people who are working on the ship in sort of a common dining area. But it's something that I've always wanted to try, and someday I will. I do have confidence that eventually someday I will. There's a company here in Chicago, which is, I believe it's called the Polish Steamship Company. And they sail from Indiana and Wisconsin to, I think it's Gdansk in Poland. And it doesn't really take all that long. It's an 18-day round trip from Chicago. And I think they stop in Montreal and maybe other places along the Great Lakes. So, that does sound like something I want to do. Now, if anybody is interested in hearing more about that way of travel, there's a very interesting book. It's by a guy called Richard Pollack, which is P-O-L-L-A-C-K. And the book is called The Colombo Bay, which was the name of the ship that he traveled on. It's a gentleman who went around the world in a container ship just right after 9/11. So it is very interesting. Brings up a lot of interesting issues about world trade and what it's like to actually travel by container ship. And it's a good read. So definitely would recommend that to anybody who has an interest in the subject. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. It looks like I'm running out of time. Thanks for listening. And as always, if you want to contact the show, it's very easy to do so. Just contact me by sending an email to tom@tomharrisusa.com. Or you can join the Tom Harris USA podcast Facebook group over on Facebook. All right, so I'm out of time. I'm out of here. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, signing off.